Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast with your host, Mike Royer.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike Royer welcoming you to another program of Health Matters, an interview we do with physicians, dietitians, and specialists from University Medical Center. We use portions of those interviews on WVUA 23 News. We do a podcast, and the entire interviews are available to you online. Sherry Simpson is a dietitian at the University of Alabama Student Health Center here at the University of Alabama. Sherry, thanks for coming back and being with us again. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thank you.
We talked about fad diets before with you. We've talked with you on a couple of occasions before. And today we're talking about supplements. And I think some of it must be mental, because if someone says to me, I started taking this powder in my morning milk or in my morning smoothie, and I feel so much better, I go, well, then I better do that too.
Right.
We're very easily influenced when we hear someone else's success story. And is that part of the initial problem with supplements?
Correct. Is people are kind of self-selecting and self-diagnosing. Yes.
Yeah. Instead of going to my doctor, I'll listen to my goofy friend who knows nothing about diet like you do. So what are the, I think I did the other segment with you asking, what is the headline here on food supplements, supplements of all kinds? What is the concern? Why are we doing this segment about supplements today?
So I think that it's important for people to know that, you know, there's a lot of benefits that come with supplements, but there's also some caution that you need to take. You definitely need to have a conversation for certain supplements with your providers, whether it's a doctor or a dietitian, nurse practitioner, and tell them what you're taking, preferably before you start taking it. There are certain vitamins that some of us may need to supplement, and there's blood tests and there's other things that we can look for that would indicate that would be needed.
And certainly we need to understand there's not one thing that works for everyone. All of our bodies are different. We process foods, everything differently. So you really need individual guidance.
Correct.
Before you get into supplements. If most of us of any age who exercise a little bit, generally take care of ourselves, if we eat properly, generally, do we even need supplements at all?
Not necessarily, unless you have a diagnosed deficiency, which there are some that are that are common. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do get a balanced diet, it's usually not necessary. But, you know, the definition of a supplement is to kind of add in what you're missing in the diet or what you're lacking or what you could be deficient in. Most of us don't eat everything in balance every day.
Right.
And it's not about an everyday situation. It's really kind of about across the board, across the week.
When you get your annual physical and your physician does a blood test and you get results back with all kinds of numbers, that's the best indicator for your physician to give you guidance on that, correct?
Right. For certain vitamins and minerals, we can't test for all of them, unfortunately. But there's other side effects that we look for. Like there may be changes in your vision. There could be fatigue. There could be, there's physical things as a dietitian, and doctors are trained as well to look for certain things in the body that can indicate deficiencies.
We were talking before we turned the camera on, and you gave us an example of you're in the student health center, some young ladies who come to you and they're taking other supplements and it causes them other problems. Tell our listeners and our viewers about
Correct.
That.
Correct. So yeah, I identified this fairly early that we were seeing repetitive issues with iron deficiency anemia, which is just low iron. It's very common in that age group, but seeing it more so than normal. And when I started investigating, found that a lot of these individuals were still taking some of the supplements that they took during COVID. They were taking zinc, they were taking, of course, you know, some of the other things, calcium and those types of things, in very high doses. And really a lot of those are not meant to be taken long term. And what happens is it can block those receptor sites. So I kind of explain it like competing for parking spots.
Yeah.
So if those parking spots are full, then iron doesn't have anywhere to go. And so when we're able to kind of pull those back, I usually tell students to don't throw them away because you might need them. They are helpful if you do have a cold, but you shouldn't take them for more than a week or two. Put them back in the medicine cabinet and just pull those out when you do have a cold.
Generally speaking, if a patient, you deal with students, but if a patient does come to you and say, I'm low in this particular one, do you recommend a pill supplement for that or recommend a dietary change where you need to eat more of these kinds of things to increase that in your body? Is that a case-by-case thing, too?
That's a good question.
Oh, thank you. Once in a while, I hit on a good question.
So we always do food first. So okay. I challenge them usually for, 6 to 8 weeks. I said for the next couple months, let's try to increase the foods. And I would say about half can accomplish that. If they can't, then we start talking about supplements. But we always do food first.
You prefer it first because it is the healthiest way to get to the numbers you want to get that
right.
you're deficient in.
Well, that and also a lot of people don't know that our body knows food. It likes food. And mm-hmm. so there's a term called bioavailability, which is kind of how our body absorbs, and it likes the nutrients in food far better than it does supplements. So that's why we do that first.
I know people is it metabolism that is part of the processing of food? I know people who eat all day, every day, all they want, and they're just perfect weight. They don't gain any weight at all. That's just the luck of the draw, isn't it, with how we're built?
Kind of. We know that we used to think it was a pretty simple process, but now we know that there's lots of branches on that tree, so there's lots of reasons. A lot of it is our body composition, it's how much we move, and then there's a lot of hereditary components that we're learning, so through research.
You've also mentioned a couple of times that people who have trouble sleeping may try different supplements because they heard someone else took it and they slept great. When someone just generally goes, I toss and turn, I can't get to sleep, and even if I get to sleep, I wake up 3 times. What road do you go down when someone comes to you with a sleep problem?
As a dietitian, I try to focus just on food, just because we're not trained in medication and other
right.
areas, but I do kind of ask what their routines are. And also caffeine is a big one. So yeah. I do find that, especially the population I deal with, they're a little over-caffeinated.
Yeah.
So that's usually the first thing. And then also just kind of talking them through things that they can do without having to go to supplements. But we do know there's a couple that I do talk about with my students. Melatonin is usually a pretty safe one to do as long as they don't have other contraindications. And then magnesium is a big one right now. So
I've heard over the years that Benadryl is a non-toxic, pretty simple thing to take that helps some people sleep. Again, you're not a physician, you're
right.
a dietitian. Do you recommend that if the doctor's fine with it as well?
Usually, I usually kind of go alongside with what the doctors recommend. Usually they recommend those kind of things on a temporary basis. The only thing that I do keep in mind is Benadryl is an antihistamine,
mm-hmm.
and we know that it can affect appetite. So some people that take those, it makes them a little hungrier the next day, and that can kind of be a little counterproductive. So
whatever your shape, whatever your goals are, I'm assuming you recommend eating the last meal of the day several hours before bedtime. Is that good advice for everyone? Not eating and then going to bed?
Well, a lot of that stuff kind of recycles over the years. Really, it's about the overview of kind of what you take in a day's throughout the day.
Yeah.
So we know now that it's really not about stopping eating before a certain time. Now, if somebody does have maybe some acid reflux or maybe their digestion's a little slower, it may not be a good idea to have something on the stomach, but there are situations where we do recommend somebody do eat a small meal or a snack before bed.
Let's button this up with this last mm-hmm. thought. When I see we're around college kids all day long, every day, mm-hmm. that's why we have jobs. When I see them walking around, when I get to know them and talk to them, they're just like I was at their age. They think they're going to live forever. They're invincible. Nothing's going to damage them. Are we trying to do a better job of educating them that the way you eat, the way you take care of yourself, the supplements you take, if properly advised, will affect your health the rest of your life? Do you try to get that message through to these young people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad that this university does have that as an option.
Mm-hmm.
And that is interesting. Like close to graduation, I do have some students, and usually they come to me with a specific problem, but I do have some that say, I want to learn how to take care of myself and how to eat healthy. So a lot of them do take the initiative to do that. And of course, a lot of students are taking or pursuing degrees in health-related fields, whether it's nursing or exercise-related or nutrition, other medical fields, and they will take nutrition classes as part of their curriculum, so out of personal interest. So,
do you all have input, too, on the food that's served on campus? Do you have input into the choices students have when they eat in the different dining halls and different places here?
Kind of. I work with a committee that, and we provide feedback. So I do share with them what students tell me and what, you know, pros and cons. And, and also they invite students from the dining halls that are their resident assistants to provide feedback. So I do feel like the food service here is very open to requests and feedback. And they do have a dietitian that works with their group as well.
Sherry Simpson, we appreciate your expertise. I'm going home tonight and tell my wife you said I could have ice cream.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
I'll say she said it, and so that's official. Thank you so much for joining us. We enjoy your visits with us, and we appreciate your expertise and your time. Thanks again.
Thank you.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu, and for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.